إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. This is another lesson that we're having, reading from the Book of Knowledge from Sahih Bukhari. Imam Muhammad bin Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And it's the 14th of the month of Safar, the year 1435, which is in accordance to December 17, 2013. And we ask Allah to allow us to complete the book, or to complete the chapter, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, and to go on to that which is also a benefit, insha'Allah ta'ala. Last week we mentioned the long hadith about the story of Khidr and Musa, or Khidr and Musa alayhi ma salatu wassalam. And we mentioned the fawa'id of that hadith. And it's the story that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was in the gathering from amongst the people of Bani Israel, and he was teaching them, he was giving them a khutbah, he was giving them a sermon. And during that sermon he was asked by an individual from amongst Bani Israel, who is the most knowledgeable individual? And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned himself. And we mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jalla, when he corrects a prophet or a messenger, it is to guide that individual to that which is better. It is to guide that individual to that which is better, and to remind that individual and to teach that individual. To guide that individual, to remind that individual, and to teach that individual. As many of us know, it took place in the hadith, which is reported in the books of hadith, books of sunan. But it is likewise mentioned in Kitab al-Tawheed that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to his Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala, "Allimni shay'an adhkuruka bihi wa ad'uka bihi." The Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said to his Lord, "Oh my Lord, teach me something. Rabbi allimni shay'an adhkuruka bihi wa ad'uka bihi. Teach me something that I may remember you with and I may supplicate to you by way of." قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَا مُوسَى قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Allah said, "Oh Musa, say La ilaha illallah." Before we continue, this shows you the diligence of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. In this hadith, Musa is asking Allah Azza wa Jal for something to remember his Lord and to supplicate to his Lord. Just like we have in this hadith in front of us, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he found out that there was an individual that had knowledge that he did not have, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested from Allah to show him the way to meet this individual. So it shows you the diligence of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is the way of all of the prophets and all of the messengers. So Musa said, "Oh Allah, teach me something that I may remember you by way of, and I may call on you." Allah said, Ya Musa, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Oh Musa, say, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Musa said, كُلُّ عِبَادُكَ يَقُولُونَ ذَلَكَ. All of your servants say this. So Allah said, لَوْ أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَعَامِرُهُنَّ غَيْرِي فِي كِفَّةِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ فِي كِفَّةٍ مَالَتْ بِهِنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. If the heavens and the earth and everything which supports it other than Allah was in the hand of a scale, and لا إله إلا الله was in the other hand of the same scale, لا إله إلا الله would be more weightier than the heavens and the earth and that which supports it. So in that hadith, Musa is seeking knowledge and Allah Azza wa Jal is guiding Musa and informing him and reminding him. The Sharih, who is the grandson of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in Fath al-Majid, he mentioned in his explanation of the Book of Tawheed, he said, this informs that the Anbiya, even the Anbiya, they need to be reminded of the merits of La ilaha illallah. That even the Anbiya, يحتاجون إلى تنبيح إلى فضل الكلمة التوحيد. That even the Prophets, they are in need to be reminded of the merits of the statement of Tawheed. So with that being the case, we have, like we mentioned in last week's lessons, that this hadith informs that even a prophet and a messenger is reminded from his Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Is reminded from his Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and it is not done so to admonish or to belittle wa na'udhu billah, but it is done so to remind, it is done so to teach and the likes. One second. One second. Now, so it is done so to teach, it is done so to guide, it is done so to remind. And this was with Allah Azza wa Jal, with many of the prophets. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, nada ibnahu innahu min ahli. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called to his Lord in the Quran to save his son. Verily, he's from amongst my family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ. Verily, he is not from your people. He's not from your people. Verily, he has committed actions which are not righteous. So the prophets and the messengers are reminded by their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach them and to guide them. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, he is guided and reminded and taught by his Lord tabaraka wa ta'ala. Also from the benefits of this hadith, and we mentioned the hadith word for word in last week's lesson, so we won't repeat the word for word translation of the hadith, but instead we will continue with the benefits. From the benefits of the hadith is that we submit to the qada and the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal. That we submit to that which Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed and that which Allah Azza wa Jal has legislated. And we do not ask our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala why. إِنَّهُ, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, لَا يُسْعَدُ عَمَّا يَفْعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. Allah is not asked about that which He does, but the people will be questioned. But the people, we are questioned. Allah is not questioned. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hakim. Allah Azza wa Jal is the All-Wise. Allah is the All-Just. Allah is the All-Knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning Himself, لَهُ الْحِكْمَةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. Allah has the greatest of wisdom. Allah Azza wa Jal has the greatest of wisdom. So He is not asked or questioned about His actions. So we know that Allah is the All-Wise, that Allah is the All-Knowing, that Allah is the All-Just. So we submit to the qada and the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, whether we know the hikmah or whether we do not know the hikmah, whether we know the wisdom and why He has done a particular action or decreed a particular affair to take place, or whether we do not know it, we submit to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, we benefit from the hadith that it is upon a student to be patient when he sees or hears from his scholar. It is upon for him to be patient, as was mentioned by many of the Salaf, as Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, and I believe he died 463 Hijri. And Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, as they mentioned, you had a great scholar from the East and a great scholar from the West who died the same year. Great scholar from the East and a great scholar from the West who died the same year. And this is just an outside benefit. That scholar from the East was Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi, who is one of the Salaf who wrote many of the books related to the etiquette of a student of knowledge. And we mentioned his name in the past. Al-Rihlatu fi Talib al-Ilm. He wrote the book Traveling to Seek Knowledge. He wrote the book Taqyid al-Ilm, Writing Down the Knowledge. He wrote the book Al-Jami' fi Akhlaq al-Rabi' wa Adab al-Sami'. He wrote the book, the compilation of the etiquettes of the narrator and the etiquettes of the listener, and many other books. Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala, if I'm not mistaken, who died 463 Hijri, he is one of the great imams of the Salaf, who wrote many books on the etiquette of the student of knowledge. And likewise, you had another imam who was present at the same time, who was also a great imam from amongst the Salaf, who died the same year, and that was Ibn Abdul Barr. That was Ibn Abdul Barr, rahimahullah ta'ala, who wrote, who also died 463, but he was in Spain. He was in Spain, and that area was Andalus, yani between Morocco and Spain. So they say a scholar from the East who was Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi, and they say a scholar from the West who was Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, who Ibn Abdul Barr al-Qurtubi, who also died 463 Hijri. And they said he was from the West. Why? Because he was from Southern Europe. He was from Andalus, which is Southern Europe, which is was in Spain. You know, and that was the area that the Muslims had conquered, al-Maghrib. They had conquered Morocco, and then they started going up into Spain. So he was from al-Qurtuba. He was from Al-Qurtuba, which was present in Spain. So they said a scholar from the West. And they both died 463 Hijri. And Imam Ibn Abdul Barr Al-Qurtubi, he wrote many books. And from amongst them, and he was one of the great scholars of the Maliki Madhab. And from the books of knowledge which he wrote, Al-Jami' fi Bayan al-Ilm, and he wrote the book called the Compilation and the Clarification of Knowledge. Al-Jami' fi Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlihi, the compilation of knowledge and the merits of knowledge. And Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah ta'ala, as many may also know, he also explained Al-Muwatta. In a very voluminous book called At-Tamhid. He also explained the book of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, which is Al-Muwatta, and he explained it in a long extensive book called At-Tamhid. And he wrote another book also about the Muwatta of Imam Malik called Al-Istidkar. At any rate, we were talking about Imam al-Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala. And even Imam al-Khatib rahimahullah ta'ala had a long extensive book called Tariq Baghdad, more than 30 volumes. He wrote a book on the history of Baghdad and the scholars of Baghdad, and we know that is in Iraq. At any rate, Imam al-Khatib, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in one of his books about knowledge, the statement of the Salaf, when it comes to being the student being quiet, paying attention to the scholar. And we've mentioned that statement in the past by Sufyan al-Thawri, but likewise it was mentioned by Abdahaq ibn Muzahim, where he said, أول العلم الصمت. The first part of knowledge is that you are quiet. ثم الاستماع. And then that you listen. ثم العمل. Then that you act upon it. ثم نشره وتعليمه. Then you spread it and you teach it. So notice the first thing that Sufyan al-Thawri, as well as Al-Dhahhak ibn Muzahim, rahimahumullah ta'ala, mentioned about knowledge is that you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. You have to focus on the scholar. So we find that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Musa, as soon as he heard something, although we're going to mention some benefits from that, but we find that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as soon as he saw something, he immediately responded. He immediately made inkar upon that which he felt was wrong. But the scholars mention, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the student should be quiet, the student should pay attention and wait for the scholar to explain the statement or the action. And in that regard, even they mention, and even Khatib al-Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned from the etiquette of the student, is that you do not speak nor interrupt, even if you know that which the scholar is transmitting, like you know the ayat or you know the hadith. And we find that in the lessons, especially in the West, we don't find that, walillah alhamd, you don't find when here in Saudi Arabia or in Yemen or the likes, when you sit with the scholars, that the student interrupts, or the scholar begins an ayat and the student completes the ayat, or a scholar begins a hadith and the student completes the hadith. Like the student is interrupting, showing that he knows the hadith or he knows the ayat. This is not from the adab of a student of knowledge. This is not from the etiquettes of a student of knowledge. Imam al-Khatib rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, وَإِذَا رَوَى الْمُحَدِّثُ خَبَرًا قَدْ تَقَدَّمَتْ مَعْرِفَتُهُ فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَلَّا يُدَاخِلَهُ فِي رِوَايَتِهِ ليريه أنه يعرف ذلك الحديث، فإن من فعل مثل هذا كان منسوبا إلى سوء الأدب. Imam al-Khatib رحمه الله تعالى mentioned in his book جامع بيان أو جامع في أداب الراوي وأخلاق السامع, the book that we mentioned, the compilation about the character of the narrator and the etiquettes of the listener, Imam al-Khatib said, if the scholar of hadith is informing of a narration or just a statement, whether it's a verse from the Quran or it's a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if the scholar of the hadith is teaching something and the student already knows the narration, whether it's a verse or whether it's a hadith, it is not befitting, or it is unbefitting, that the student interrupts the teacher to show the teacher that he knows it already. For verily, the individual that does this action, it is attributed to him that he has bad manners. It is attributed to him that he has bad manners. This is that which was said by Imam Khatib rahimahullah ta'ala. And you have the Salaf that they mention this. The Salaf mentioned this. Mathalan, Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who is from the students of who? Ibn Abbas. He's from the students of Ibn Abbas, and he died 114 Hijri. He said, إِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ الْحَدِيثِ مِنَ الرَّجُلِ وَأَنَا أَعْلَمْ بِهِ مِنْهُ فَأُرِيَهُ مِنْ نَفْسِ أَنِّي لَا أُحْسِنُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, who is from the students of Ibn Abbas, he said, I hear a hadith from a man, whether from a scholar, from a student, I hear a hadith, and I know the hadith already, but I display to him as if I don't know it. I display to him as if I do not know it. Yani Afa Ibn Abi Rabah, he's a student of Ibn Abbas. He might hear Ibn Abbas narrate a hadith, or other than Ibn Abbas narrate a hadith, and Afa Ibn Abi Rabah, he knows the hadith already. But what is his manner with the scholar? He's quiet. Yani, notice he says, and notice the difference between what Khatib al-Baghdadi said in terms of the etiquette. Afa ibn Abi Rabah, he said, I hear it from the teacher, from the student, whatever, from the scholar. I hear it, but I present myself in a manner as if I never heard it before, as if I don't know it. Meaning, he's quiet. He doesn't interrupt. He doesn't jolt out the rest of the hadith like we find us doing in lessons in England, in America, and the likes of that. No, they don't do that. Because that is not from the etiquette of a student of knowledge. It's not from the etiquette of a student of knowledge. As Khatib al-Baghdadi said, he said, you do not interrupt the scholar. For verily the individual, to show him, he says, you do not interrupt the scholar to show him that you know it already, because verily the individual that does so, he will be labeled as a person with bad etiquette. Even Afa ibn Abi Rabah, and this was mentioned by Imam al-Dhahabi in his tarjama of Afa ibn Abi Rabah in Sir A'lam al-Nubala, Imam al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Afa also said, وَإِنِّي لَأَسْمَعُ الشَّابِ لَيَتَحَدَّثْ بِالْحَدِيثِ. I hear a young person, Afa ibn Abi Rabah said, I hear a person narrating hadith, فَأَسْمَعُ لَهُ كَأَنِّي لَمْ أَسْمَعْ بِهِ. I hear a person narrating a hadith, and I give my full attention as if I never heard it before. وَلَقَدْ سَمِعْتُهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُولَدْ. And I heard that hadith even before this person was even born. Yani, I heard this hadith a long time ago. That's what they, مِنْ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُولَدْ. That's a statement that the Salaf and the scholars of today, they use this as, I heard this a long time ago. So Afa ibn Abi Rabah, he said, I hear the person narrating the hadith and I listen as if I never heard it before. I give it my full attention. But verily, I heard this hadith a long time ago. And he mentioned as an example, I heard it even before he was born. Meaning, I heard it a long time ago. And that is the etiquette of a student of knowledge. The etiquette of a student of knowledge is that they are quiet. And this is one of the benefits that we get from this qissa of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And because of that, we are going to the next benefit, and that is, it is upon a student of knowledge to be patient. It's upon you to be patient. And why? Because at the end of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, يَرْحَمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى. May Allah have mercy upon Musa. لَوَدِدْنَا لَوْ صَبَرَى حَتَّى يَقُصَّ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ أَمْرِهِمَا. We wish Musa was patient so that we can get more of the story. So that we can get more of their story. So this shows you it is upon a student of knowledge in his quest to seek knowledge. It is upon you to be patient. Maybe you come across, and we mentioned this last week, maybe at the time that you enter into the lesson, the scholar is teaching something you know. It's possible that the scholar is teaching a book that you know. And maybe for the next month or two, the scholar is going to be teaching information that you know. It is upon you to be patient, because there will definitely come things that you do not know. Things that you've never heard before. Things that you've never heard before. And that is how an individual studies. That is how an individual will benefit. Don't say, I've heard this before. Don't say this is beginners. Don't say this is knowledge that is simple. No. Be patient and you will come across things that you have never heard before, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, so these were also from the benefits that we benefit from that hadith. Moving on to the next hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, Bab man sa'ala wa huwa qa'imun aliman jalisan. The chapter of the person who asks, the chapter of a person who asks, a teacher or a scholar who is sitting, and the questioner is standing. This is from the etiquette. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is going into the etiquette of asking a question. And he mentioned, حدثنا عثمان. He mentioned, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, Haddathna Uthman, and he is Ibn Abi Shaybah. He is Ibn Abi Shaybah. And he is not the author. We know there's a Musannif. We know there's a book called Musannif Ibn Abi Shaybah. He is not the author. He's the brother of that author. Because that author is Abu Bakr Ibn Abi Shaybah. Abu Bakr Ibn Abi Shaybah, one of the scholars of the past, one of the muhaddithun of the Salaf. His brother was one of the scholars of Imam al-Bukhari. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, حدثنا عثمان ابن أبي شيبة أخبرنا جرير جرير ابن عبد الحميد عن منصور ابن معتمر عن وائل, and we mentioned وائل in the past, his name is Shaqiq, عن أبي موسى, أبو موسى العشعري, عبد الله ابن أبي قيس, أبو سعيد الخدري, نعم, أبو موسى العشعري, عبد الله, his name is عبد الله, the companion of the Prophet, رضي الله تعالى عنه. He said, جاء الرجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله ما القتال في سبيل الله. And there's different narrations of the same hadith. A man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, يا رسول الله, what is fighting in the way of Allah? I showed you the diligence of the companions. The companions, they wanted to do an action which is pleasing to Allah. But they want to do it, they want to do an action which is pleasing to Allah عز وجل, but they want to be rewarded for that action. They want Allah Azza wa Jalla to be pleased with him. So this individual said, Ya Rasulullah, what is fighting in the way of Allah? فَإِنَّ أَحَدَنَا, for verily one from amongst you, يُقَاتِلُ غَدَبًا, he fights because he's angry. وَيُقَاتِلُ حَمِيَّةً, and he fights because of his tribe. فَرَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ رَأْسَهُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised his head, which means the Prophet was sitting. The Prophet ﷺ raised his head. وَمَا رَفَعَ إِلَيْهِ رَأْسُهُ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ كَانَ قَائِمًا. The Prophet ﷺ raised his head because the individual who was questioning him, the questioner, was standing. And it shows you the fiqh of the companions. They knew the Prophet was sitting. The man was standing. The Prophet turned around. The Prophet was in this. And it shows you how the student of knowledge takes notice of the actions of his scholars. And because of that, Imam Abdul Rahman Al-Awza'i, he said, we used to laugh, the scholars, the teachers, we used to laugh. But then when we noticed the students looking at our every action, we stopped laughing. We stopped laughing in the company of the people. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his head because the questioner was standing. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, من قاتل لتقون كلمة الله هي العليا فهو في سبيل الله عز وجل. Whoever fights so that the word of Allah at Tawheed, it is the utmost, this is fighting in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this hadith informs us of the great merit of fighting in the way of Allah. This is the person who fights in the way of Allah. It gives us a tafsir of what is it meant to be fighting, what is meant to fight in the way of Allah. Is it because I'm angry? Is it because of my tribe? Is it because of our lineage? No, it is fighting so that the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal can be the utmost. And what is the kalimatullah? La ilaha illallah. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. Not to kill the kuffar, not to take their women as prisoners, not to take their wealth, not to take their land. No, it is so that the word of Allah Azza wa Jal can be the utmost. Before we continue with this hadith, I wanted to mention something that I came across in the explanation of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Hafizullah Ta'ala. In the explanation of Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, Hafizullah Ta'ala, about the last hadith, about the hadith of Musa al-Khidr. There was a fa'idah that I wanted to mention. And that was, Sheikh Zayd, Hafizullah Ta'ala, he mentioned, وَجُوبُ تَغْيِيرِ الْمُنْقَرِ عِنْدَ الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى تَغْيِيرِهِ. He said, from this hadith of Musa and Khidr, we have that it is an obligation to change that which is wrong. And Sheikh Zayd Hafizullah Ta'ala, he brought that from the fact that Musa, when he saw something that he considered to be wrong, Musa immediately rushed to correct that which was wrong. Although we realized that it wasn't wrong. But the action of Musa, in his estimation, it is a wrong action. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam immediately raced to correct that which he considered to be wrong. So that was one of the benefits that Sheikh Zayd Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned. Another benefit that Sheikh Zayd Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned is that في القصة دليل على أن خضر نبي من أنبياء الله وليس كما يقول بعض العلماء أنه ولي من الأولياء. He said that this story informs us, it is proved that Khidr is a prophet from the prophets of Allah. Because we mentioned that there's ikhtilaf, but Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah Ta'ala is one of the great scholars of our time. One of the great scholars of our time, Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he is of the opinion that Khidr is from a prophet, he is from the messengers. He is from the messengers because Allah gave him knowledge. Because Allah Azza wa Jal gave him knowledge, so Sheikh Zayd Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he took the opinion that Khidr is from the prophets or from the messengers. He's from the messengers, upon he's from the prophets. He's from the prophets of Allah Azza wa Jal. Na'am. And moving on, so this hadith that we just read, the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abdullah bin Qais, we have the benefit that it is perfectly permissible for the student to stand and ask the scholar a question, and it is not considered from bad manners. Now, the next hadith, and also we have that it is upon a student to ask questions to the best of his ability. You know, because the prophet is sitting, the student is standing, or if the teacher is standing, the student is sitting. It is upon a student to benefit to the best of his ability, to take the opportunity to benefit to the best of his ability. The next hadith, and actually our time has come upon us, so we will stop with bi'idhni Allah Ta'ala, and we will continue next week, inshallah ta'ala. And it's possible that we will end next week or the following week. It's possible that we will end this chapter next week or the following week, if Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us life and ability to do so, inshallah ta'ala. And then after that, we will continue, or we will go on to another work, which we, bi'idhni Allah Ta'ala, will choose and announce at a later time. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.